topic tonight I want to talk about is criticism and guilt. Today was Rosh Chodesh Adar. Wish everyone a good month, and everyone should celebrate a happy Purim, God willing. So I thought it'd be appropriate to speak about the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. Men and women are equally obligated in Kriyas Megillah. The Gemara says that women are obligated in Kriyas Megillah because they were included in the miracle too. In fact, we all know Esther was the heroine, was the major, played the major role in the Nais, and therefore men and women, as I said, have the obligation to read the Megillah. So, God willing, tonight we want to go through a mahalach that after you come out of shul on Purim night and Purim morning, hopefully after the shir, you'll come out with a feeling that, you know, we're very lucky that we're the chosen people, that God chose us to be his Amon Nivchar, and that's a very special feeling and it's a privilege. And that's one of the major themes of Purim and listening to the Megillah. And perhaps it'll give us a new perspective when we listen to the Megillah at night in the morning, that we should come out of shul feeling very special and appreciative to Hashem, because we'll see that Kriyas Megillah plays a major role in that feeling. Okay, so let's begin. I photocopied here a packet, so let's read the Gemara. This is a Gemara Megillah on Yud Tesamid Aleph, and the Gemara says we're underlined on the bottom. The bottom underline is kind of on need, I'm sorry. But it says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, HaKori Megillah Aksuva Ben Aksuvim Lo Yotza. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, you have a sofer that makes a shtick. In other words, he puts a Megillah Esther together on one cloth with the other four Megillahs. Megillah Rus, Megillah Eicha, Shir HaShirim, and what am I missing? Kohelis. So, this, whatever reason, he wants to be a fancy guy or a show-off, whatever the case is, you take a Megillah that has all five Megillahs and use that on Purim night. Is that good or not? So the great Amora of Yerim Shmuel said it's not good. You don't fulfill your obligation at all. And Rashi says there, Lo Yotza, if you see a little bit, about six lines from the bottom, he says, Lo Yotza, Dibin Igeris L'atzma. We require a distinct letter for Kriyas Megillah, the Mefarsim Nisitvei, because we're going to publicize the miracle much more, the Hikora ben Aksuvim Nirik Hikora ben Mikra. Because when you have a cloth that has all the Megillahs together, it looks like the guy's just learning. And he's not doing it to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. So therefore, from Rashi, it seems like it's Amar Sayan type of halacha. It doesn't look like he's trying to fulfill the mitzvah, it just looks like he's learning. So therefore, if Yudom Rishmul says, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Lo Amarn Elado Machasru Miatra Purtu. That's only if the Megillus Esther is the same size as the other four. Ava Machasru Miatra Purtu Lesnarba. But if you make the Megillus Esther larger than the other four, or smaller, then it's distinct and special and unique. And the Gemara says, we don't care about that, that's fine, and you fulfill the mitzvah. So that's a very, and that fits very well, because it's not, doesn't look bad. It shows that the Megillah is different, and I'm using the Megillah Esther for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. The other four are, you know, a different size, so it doesn't bother me. So the Gemara has a story. Levi Bar Shmuel Havikakari Kamei B'Revuta the Megillah Aksuva Bein Aksuva. There was a story that Levi Bar Shmuel had read in front of him. He read in front of, in the presence of Revuta, a Megillah Aksuva Bein Aksuva. Actually, he read in front of Revuta. So he said, what are you doing? What are you doing? We're not Yotze. So he says the following. Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba Amar Reb Yechanan. Akor Megillah Ksuvin Ksuvin Lo Yotze Umacha Lo Amocha. They bopped it on its head. Bitzibur Shonu. What do you mean they bopped it on its head? They constricted the din. And they said that you're only, a person only does not fulfill the mitzvah of Bitzibur. But this was private. It wasn't in front of 10 men. There was no minion. So since there was no minion, the Gemara says the story was fine and they fulfilled their mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara says here in Megillah, Yud Tesamid Aleph, running out to Yud Tesamid Beis. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if you take this Megillah that's connected to other four Megillahs and you read it in Shul, the Shulchan Aruch says you're not Yotzeh. So there was a great Gaon in the 1700s named the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagasari wrote a sefer on Maseches Megillah called the Turi Evin. He was a tremendous genius. That was the name of his sefer. It's called the Roaring Lion. And he wrote a sefer on Megillah called the Turi Evin. And he was appointed the Rav when he was 7 years old in Metz. And all the Balabatim were saying, 7 years old, he's an older man. You know, how can you appoint him as a Rav? He said he would live 20 more years and be very healthy and vibrant and would lead the Kehillah. And so was it. He lived 20 years. He died at 90. And he was a great, great Gaon. And he has a sefer on Megillah called the Turi Evin. And he asked the following kasha in this Gemara. He says, why does the Shulchan Aruch say, if you take this Megillah and Shul that's connected to the other four Megillahs, and you read it, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, not Yotze. You should at least be Yotze as a Yachid. The guy that read it, we should ignore the other nine people that are there, at least be Yotze the Mitzvah as a Yachid. Why does the whole thing implode and you're not Yotze at all? When you attempt to read this Megillah in front of the Shul, the Shulchan Aruch says you lose everything. We should ignore the other nine people who are there, and you should at least be Yotze the Mitzvah as a private individual. That's the Kasha, the Turi Evin. Everyone got that Kasha? That's what the Turi Evin asks. And the Turi Evin goes on and says, he says, what's the difference between whether it's a Megillah B'Yachidus or B'Tzibur? He says, I'll give you two differences, two nafkaminas. Number one, let's go to the next page. There's a very interesting concept that you should always try to be in a minion of 10 men for Megillah reading. You should always strive to do that. It says in the Gemara here on Hamad Aleph. Let's look at the Gemara. Amar Rav Megillah Bizmana, Korno Safil B'Yachid. When is the Megillah read? On the 14th of Adar for an unwalled city. The 15th of Adar for a walled city within the times of Yeshua ben Nun. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Megillah, it's also read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th of Adar for the villagers. The villages that had no one had the ability to read the Megillah, they weren't learned. So they would come into the marketplace for Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday and to buy goods, and they would need someone to read the Megillah for them. So there's a special kula given that these villages could read the Megillah on 11th, 12th, and 13th of Adar. It's the first mission in Megillah. So Rav says a Megillah that's read Bismana on the 14th and 15th, Koron saw Philip Yochid. Rav said it's so unique, it's so special to read the Megillah on the 14th and 15th, you could read it even in private. Shalom Bismana, but if you read it on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, sorry, you need a minion. So that's Rav's opinion. Rav says if you read it on the 14th and 15th, you don't need a minion. If you read it on 11th, 12th, and 13th, you need to have a minion of 10 men. His Talmud, Rav Asi, Amar, Bein Bismana, Bein Shalom Bismana, Basara. Rav Asi said, I disagree. Anytime you read the Megillah, you always need a minion. Whether it's the 14th or 15th, or whether you're reading it early on 11th, 12th, or 13th, you need to have a minion. And, you know, usually when you have a Rav and a Talmud, you pass on at the Rebbe. But here the Gemara tells us that Rav was a big tzaddik, of course, like all the Amoraim, and he was choshish for his shita of his Talmud, Rav Asi. And there was one Purim that Rav couldn't get to shul, and he gathered 10 men at his home, because he was concerned for his Talmud's opinion. The Gemara says, Havi Uvda, there was a story, the Chashle Rav Lahad Rav Asi, period, and Rav was concerned for the opinion of Rav Asi, and he gathered 10 men at his house, because he didn't want to read the Megillah without a minion. So that's the first nafkamina. In other words, if you go back to what we said, you take a Megillah that is connected to the other four Megillahs, and you read it in Shul, what's the halacha? The halachas are not Yotze as a Sibor, the Gemara said, but at least you should be Yotze as a private individual. And you'll ask me, what's the big deal, whether it's in the Tzibor or Yachid? You know what the big deal is? You lose out this Hidur, this mandate to try to always read the Megillah in a minion. So the fellow that read the Megillah that was connected to the other four Megillahs lost out that mandate, that beauty, that beautification of having the Kriyas of Megillah in a minion. So the Shagas Aryeh says, the Turi Evin says, my kasha is a great kasha. Why does the Shulchan Aruch say, oh, if you read the Megillah and the Tzibur, the whole thing implodes, you're not Yotze anything. You should at least be Yotze as a Yachid. And the difference between a Tzibur and a Yachid is, at least I'm Yotze as a Yachid, but I didn't fulfill the Yidur of reading it B'Tzibur. That's one nafgamina. Number two, let's go to the next page. There's something very unique about Kriyas of Megillah. Usually, most mitzvahs, there's a bracha beforehand, before we fulfill the mitzvah. What is unique about Kriyas of Megillah? There's a bracha afterwards as well. We say Haravis Rivenu. Now, the Rama writes that we only say this bracha in the Tzibor, if you have 10 men. If you read the Megillah in a hospital, if someone's ill, You do not say Haravis Rivenu. You only say the brachas before. You don't say the brachas afterwards. And this Ramah is quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan, the Chai Adam, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We all paskin like this Ramah, except the Vilna Gaon argues. The Vilna Gaon says, I don't know what they do in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael they always follow the Vilna Gaon. It could be that in Eretz Yisrael they also say a bracha Haravis Rivenu at the end as well. And the Ramah, the Vilna Gaon argues on this Ramah and says you say it even privately. So that's the second nafkamina. If you take the Megillah that's written Ksuva ben Aksuvim, what's the halacha? The halacha is you're not Yotze as a tzibor, but what did the Shakasari, the Turiyevin, challenge? And what did he say? You should at least be Yotze, at least as a private individual. What's the nafkamina? One nafkamina is you're not Yotze the Hidor of doing it b'tzibor. And what's the second nafkamina? You would not be able to say the bracha if you hold like the Ramah of Harav es Rivenu. Because it drops it from being a tzibor, Kriyasa Megillah, to a yachid, Kriyasa Megillah. And therefore you cannot say the bracha afterwards of Harav es Rivenu. Let's look at the Ramah inside. The Ramah says, I think it's the third page, yes? Ve'en levarach acharecha achareha el b'tzibor. You only say Harav es Rivenu b'tzibor. Okay? I underlined on the bottom, you see the Bir Halachim? The Holy Vacha of Tzchaim, he says, El B'tzibor, he named the base Yosef. Let's go to the next page. Kosov, the Orchos Chaim Kosov came to Shem Yerushalmi. The Ayin B'Eliyahu Rabba, the Ochiach Mikama Poskim, he proves from many Poskim, the Mevarach Afilu B'Yochim. There are many Poskim that argue with this Ramah, and that you say, Rabbi Zavina, even private. From the Yushami, there's no proof. The Lokoya La Birkas HaTorah. If you ever notice an Aliyah in Shul, the man that gets the Aliyah says a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. So the Yushami said the only bracha, the only mitzvah that has a bracha before and a bracha afterwards is what? Is Birkas HaTorah, and that needs Bitzibor. That's the only one that requires a tzibor. Umikomokom nirandain kedai levarach achara. He says, I don't think you should hold like that shita, the Vilna Gaon, says the Chavetz Chaim, and you should not say a bracha afterwards. The balavachi a bracha zu afilu b'tzibor einu chiyuvis, because anyways, this bracha, even in tzibor, is not obligatory. V'talya b'minhaga k'nisa b'gemara. And it's totally in a custom like it's found in the Gemara. U'mi yomer d'mispashin aminik k'ayon levarach b'yachid. Who says the minig has spread to say a bracha in private? So our minhag, says the Chavetz Chaim, we should hold like the Ramah and not say this bracha Haravis Rivenu privately, even though the Vilna Gaon says you should. Okay? Even though the Vilna Gaon says you should, he says, the Yushami said, the only bracha that requires a tzibor for a bracha before and afterwards is an aliyah in the Torah. But Kriyas HaMegillah, you could say privately with a bracha before, bracha afterwards. So the Vilna Gaon is backed up by the Yushami, but he points out that the Yushami might not lemaisa be a proof, because maybe it's only referring to the concept of Birkas HaTorah, but it's a question. So we paskin, whenever there's a question of a bracha, we're very scared about making a bracha in Levatala, because the Rambam says it's a transgression of the third of the Ten Commandments, of Lotisa Hashem HaKech L'Shav, and therefore, like I said, definitely in Chutzrats we hold like the Ramah. You read the Megillah for someone in the hospital where there's no minyan, you never say Rabbis Rivenu. You say the brachas beforehand for them, but not the brachas afterwards. Okay, so if you hold like that Ramah, we just dug up two nafkaminas. So the kasha we have is the Turi Evans kasha. That if you take a Megillah, Ksuvim and Ksuvim, where the Megillah was not bigger or smaller, Esther wasn't smaller, it was the same size as the other Megillahs, you're not Yotze at all, says the Shacharach. The Turi Evans says, why aren't you Yotze at least as a Yachid? Let the guy who read it be Yotze at least as a private individual. And what's the difference whether it's a Tzibor or a Yachid? Because there's a mandate to try to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzibor, and you didn't in this case, because it dropped it as a Yachid. And number two, this guy would not be able to say Rabbis Ravina, because we would follow the Ramah. Okay. So that's the first kasha that we're asking, that we want to try to answer. Okay, that's the first one. I want to go now to, if you look at the separate page, I photocopied the Rambam. There is a machloikis in the Gemara of Baba Basra on Daf Yud Gimel and Beis. The Gemara has a machloikis between Reb Meir and the Chachamim as to whether you can take a Torah and glue it on to a nach. Another shtick the guy wants to do. He wants a whole Tanakh on one cloth. Are you allowed to do that? So Reb Meir says you're not allowed to do that, and the Chum say you're allowed to. So the Rambam paskins that the halacha is that you're allowed to, but if you do it, it's only considered to be a chumash. Now, what is a chumash? A chumash is not an art scroll chumash or a stone chumash. A chumash in halacha is a Torah that only consists of Breishis, or Shmos, or Vayikra, or Bamidbar, or Dvar. Meaning a cloth only of Breishis. That's what a chumash means. Right? Chumash means a fifth. So, you know, we talk about a chumash colloquially, it means a stone chumash. It doesn't mean that. In the Gemara's Lashon, a chumash means a Breishis alone, a Shmos alone, a Yivikra alone, Bamidbar alone, Dvar alone. So the Rambam has a tremendous chiddush. The Rambam writes, you can take that Sefer Torah and glue it onto a nach. But if you do it, I want you to know the status of that Torah is only like a chumash. That's what the Rambam writes. You know what that klal is called? Yeser kenutl dummy. Yeser means when you add on something, you basically subtract as well. You know where that halacha comes from? Hilchos Treifus. The Gemara has a case, the Torah Beis Yosef say, if a chicken is born with three legs, it's like it has one leg. And we deem it as a treifa, that it will die, and you can't eat it. So you can't shecht it, and you can't eat it. That's the halacha of Yeser Kenutl Dummy. So the Rambam imports a halacha in Hilchos Treifus and applies it to the din of a Sefer Torah that you glue onto a nach. And all the Gedolei Achronim say, where did the Rambam get this? You know, the Rambam never wrote sources for his halacha. The Rambam is a great tzaddik. He lived 1135 to 1204. And he writes in the Hakdama, he was not a Baal Gai, he was a tzaddik, like I said, but he writes, after I finish my Sefer, all you need is a Tanakh and my Sefer, the Yad HaChazaka, because I'm going to codify all the dinim and shas. So the Rambam comes up with this halacha, and all the Gedolei Achronim are asking, where did the Rambam get this from? How did the Rambam import a halacha that applies to Treifus and applies that here by Sefer Torah? That if you take a Sefer Torah and you glue it on the Nach, it brings down the level of the Sefer Torah and treat it like a Chumash, based on the Din Yeser Kenutl Dummy. Then Mekeves HaMishnah says there's Yerushalmi, and then he says there's no Yerushalmi. So everyone's grappling. Where did the Rambam get this from? Let's look at the Rambam. I photocopied it separate here. This is in Pirk Zion. Halacha Tetzai. Kol Kisvei HaKodesh and Kosvon Osam Elibis Sirtut. You know what Sirtut is? You know, you have to have underline. The Sofer has to underline it. You know, actually use a blade to make sure you write straight. Filu Kosav Al Aniyar Umutu Lichtol Sholosh Tevus Below Sirtut Yeser Al Zeh Aser. So if it's mutter to write three letters of three words of the Tanakh without Sirtut, more than that, it's Aser. Now this is what we need. Krach Zeh Sheyesh bo Sefer Torah Neviim V'Ksuvim. If you have a Tanakh that has a Sefer Torah Neviim V'Ksuvim, Ein Kedushaso Kedusha Sefer Torah Ela Kechumish Mina Chumashim Din HaYeser Kedin HaChaser. That's exactly the case we said. Krach said you have a full Tanakh on one cloth. It does not have the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. It's brought down because you try to add. Sometimes you know that phrase, adding can be subtracting. When you do too much, call most of ours a gareya, and it's treated like a regular chumash. So the second question we want to ask, second kasha, is where did the Rambam get this halacha from? We got to find somewhere we got it from. It's got to be somewhere in Shas where the Rambam got it from. Always got to find a marker for the Rambam. So that's the second kasha. Okay. Let's go now to the next page in the previous packet, okay? So Gemara Gittin Daf Samach, okay? Now, the Gemara Gittin Daf Samach says the following concept. Are you allowed, is a shul allowed to have a Sefer Torah only of Breishis, or Shmos, or Vayikra, or Bemidbar Dvar? You're not allowed to do that. Why aren't you allowed to do that? Because it's a lack of Kavod HaTzibur. The Pashut understanding of that is that it makes look like a shul is cheap. I mean, you can't spend money to make a whole Sefer Torah, or at least borrow a Sefer Torah. It looks terrible. And Rabbi Kivager gives on, he gives all the Maramakimus. Like in Yiddish we say, Seichen Zan, all the Maramakimus and Kovanat Tzibur and Shas. So it could be that if the shul's really dirt poor and they have no money at all, maybe it's okay. But strictly speaking, it's not proper at all. It's a lack of Kovanat Tzibur. Okay? Take a look at this Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabba, this is Gittin Daf Samach Amarav, Rabba Rav Yosef Dharma Tarvayu, Ein Koren B'chumashim B'sakneses, you're not allowed to lean. Now what does Chumash mean? We all know it doesn't mean art scroll Chumash. It doesn't mean the stone Chumash, okay? B'sakneses B'shum Kovarat Zibor, because it's simply not right. It doesn't look good at all. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Okay? So you're not allowed to do that. Fine, that's a Gemara Gittin and Daf Samach Amarav. So, if you go to the next page, the Shulchan Aruch gives the following case. It's a fascinating case. Let's get the case. You have a shul that has two Sefer Torah in it. So in Brachos, there was a mistake in one of the parshios. If you ever saw a Sefer Torah, there's a mistake, they put the garpal outside the Sefer Torah. You're really never supposed to leave a Sefer Torah in the shul that has a mistake in it. It's actually a violation of lo yishkanu avla. You're not allowed to leave an iniquity in your shul. You're supposed to fix it. It's not supposed to be left around because people might read it and make a mistake. But okay, sometimes it's hard to get a sofer right away. But nonetheless, the shul had a Sefer Torah that had a mistake in it, in Brachos, and they put the garpal on it. Okay, so we're using another Sefer Torah, and we're in the middle of Shmos. And lo and behold, we're using the second Sefer Torah, and now this Sefer Torah will find a mistake. What do we do? So probably most everyone in the shul forgot there was a mistake in the first one, unless they see the garbage outside, but you know, let's assume they'll cover it up. But what's the halacha? Can I go back and use that first Sefer Torah that only has a mistake in it in Brachos? We'll make it a little bit dramatic. It might even have a mistake in Vayikra and Bamidbar and Tvarim, but it's clean in Shmos. And the one we're using now, the second one, had a mistake in Shmos. So can I use the one that had a mistake in Brachos and the other three Svarim, but it's clean in Shmos, and use that? Because in essence, what are you doing? You're really utilizing a Chumash, because in the first Sefer Torah, the only thing that's kosher is really only the Chumash Shmos. Everything else in it has a mistake. You follow what I'm saying? You want me to say the case again? Everyone got the case? So basically, I'm using a Sefer Torah that's a full Sefer Torah, but in essence, it's only a Chumash. Is that acceptable or not? What would you guys say about that? Would you think that that's okay? If it's based on Kavanat Zibor, it doesn't look so bad. It's a full Sefer Torah. I would imagine most everyone in the shul forgot about it. So you know what the Ramah says? It's okay. You are allowed to take that Sefer Torah that had a mistake in the four of the Svarim, but it's clean in Shmos, and use that Sefer Torah. And we're going to see inside, the Bir Halacha says, no, you're not allowed to use it. There are Gedolei Achronim, the Shaar Ephraim, they claim against the Ramah, you shouldn't use it. So our third kasha we want to ask is, what is the Svara of those Gedolei Achronim that argue on the Ramah and say that you shouldn't use it? Because, I mean, if you'd asked me, I would have said like the Ramah, because it doesn't look bad. What looks bad is only have a Sefer Torah that only has a Brachos, or only has a Shmos. This is a full Sefer Torah. So externally, outwardly, it doesn't look bad. So why shouldn't you be able to use it? Why are there Gedolei Achronim that argue on the Ramah? What is their Svara that they argue on the Ramah and they say you shouldn't use it? And the Bir Halacha's conclusion is, if someone uses it, don't protest, don't make a machlekes. But if everything's all equal, you really should get a third Sefer Torah that's completely good. So the third kasha we're going to ask is, what is the svar of those Gedolei Achronim? Okay? Let's look at the Ramah inside. I underline here. This is the Nevos Kriyas HaTorah, Simekuf Mem Gimel. The end of the Ramah writes, Vim Chumash Echad Shalein, below Taus. Everyone see that? You have a complete Chumash Shalein, meaning Shmos was clean without a mistake. Yesh Lahakel. You can be lenient. Likro b'oso chumish. To read in that chumish. Afal pishish toz b'acherim. even though on the other four there's a mistake. No problem. Ramah says it's good. Look at the Bir Halacha. If you can look at the Bir Halacha, the Bir Halacha says Yesh Lach Halikros Ayin B'Mishter Bura. This is written also by the Holy Chavetz Chaim. I said Ayin B'Bir Agra Shekasta Del Pirish Rashi Mashem and Ein Lachal B'Seh. If you look at Rashi, you shouldn't be lenient. Ubemis Haran Shevi Din Zeh B'Shem Rabbeinu Hu Arashbo K'Bor Shekasta Eli Araba Lo Hichlit Kein L'Maisa. He wasn't comfortable with deciding this practically. Rak lahalacha, he only said it conceptually. Kamosha kasu sham lehedya. Gam hama'ayin b'tshuvosim, if you look in the response of the Rashba, simen tof reshut alf, yira you'll see. Shalok kasav kein rak lachat teirutsu ayin sham. He only wrote it according to one answer. V'ayin b'beis meir, you should look in the beis meir, one of the gedolei achronim, shagam hu mefak peik b'dinzeh. He disagrees with this Ramah. V'ayin b'shari Ephraim, Shekosov Gam King, Shena Minig Lahakol Bezeh, Ayin Sham. The Shari Ephraim records the Minig is not to be Makel. Ayin Sham Tamo. Bekitzer Shulchan Aruch. No, that's not Bekitzer Shulchan Aruch. But Lamaisa, that's Ayin Sham Tamo, Bekitzer. Umikomako, Nire, Shan Noeg Lahakel Bezeh, Ein Limchos Biyodo. He says, nevertheless, someone who wants to be Makel, don't start a machloikas and don't protest. But ideally, the Chafetz Chaim writes, I don't want you to rely on the Ramah. Get a third Sefer Torah that's completely good. From the perspective that we presented, that if the issue of Kavanat Tzibra looks bad, and it looks like you're cheap, a Chumash is only when it's a Dafka Chumash alone. But if it's in the form of a whole Sefer Torah like this is, there's just a mistake in for the Svarim. Why is it looking bad? Everyone should hold like the Ramah. Why does the Shari Ephraim Beis Meir argue? So these are three kashas. So let's chazer over to kashas. We ask three kashas. Number one, if you have the guy that reads the Megillah connected to the other four Megillahs, we started off, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a din, you're not Yotze at all. Turi Evitz says you should be Yotze at least as a Yachid, the guy who read it. Dal mehacha, the other nine guys. Forget about the other nine guys. You should be Yotze as a Yachid. And to prove the difference between Yachid and Tzibra, he pointed out two nafkaminas. Number one, there's a Hidr l'chachila, Rav is koshes for his Tam Ravasi, to always read the Megillah Dominion. Number two is, according to the Ramah, you only say a bracha Rav is Ravin if you have a Tzibor. And since this would not be a Tzibor reading, it would only be as a Yachid, you wouldn't be able to say Rav is Ravin. So why is the Shulchan Aruch say if you read it in Shul, the whole thing goes up in smoke? That was the first kasha. Second kasha was, what is the source of the Rambam, who writes a Perek Zayin, Allah Tet Zayin of Sefer Torah, that we hold that you're allowed to be madbik a Torah onto a Nach, but if you do, it brings down the level of Kedusha, that it becomes a Chumash Minichum Asham. It's like a regular Chumash. Based on the din of Yeser Kenot Odom, we find the Hilchos Treifus, by chickens. The Rambam imports that Allah Tet Sefer Torah. And everyone's asking, where did Ram get this from? It's a tremendous chiddush. He doesn't tell you where he got it from. Kevin Samisha says, Yushami. Then he says, no, Yushami. What is the source of this Ram? And the third kasha is what is the svar of the Gedol Achron, the Shari Ephraim, the Beis Meir, that they argue on the Ramah that you can take the Sefer Torah out of the Shul, out of the Aron, which had a mistake in Reishis, and then the other three has a mistake, but in Shmos it's okay, because the second Sefer Torah we were using now has a mistake in Shmos. And that's okay, the Ramah says. No problem. Doesn't look bad, it's a full Sefer Torah. Doesn't look like they're cheap, but they're some Achronim, Gedol Achronim say, no, you can't use it. Why? What are they? They must have had a different definition of what Kavanat Tzibur is. What is that definition? That's what we're asking. What is the Svar? Those are the three kashas we have. Everyone got that? Okay. So I heard many, many years ago a beautiful mahalach from Rosh Hashanah Shlita to answer these kashas, okay? And I think it will, as I said before, Bizeshev, will convey to us a new perspective towards Purim. You know, we were forced to accept the Torah at Har Sinai. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Shem took the mountain, Har Sinai, and put it on our heads like a barrel. And he said, if you don't accept it, Sham take Vurasim. There will be your graves. Question why? It says, Sham, that's not for now. Right? Reuben Katz once asked the great Gadol, who's the chief rabbi of Petah Tikva, why it says Sham. It should say Po. But whatever the case is, we had to accept the Torah. Now, how does that square with last week's parsha of Nasa and Nishma? The Medrash Tanchuma asked that kasha. On one hand, we were forced to accept the Torah. On the other hand, it says nasiv nishma. We willingly accepted it. So the Medrash Tanchum in Parshas Noach writes the following, very fundamental answer. When it comes to Torah Shebichsav, we said nasiv nishma. You know, that's easy. The Pesukim and the Chumash, the straight out dinim. But to do all the dinim and shas, that Hashem had to put a mountain over us like a barrel and said, if you don't accept it, there will be your graves. So we accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh against our will. And that is not a good thing whenever you accept something against your will. That's a mudah rabbah. That's like a big public announcement that is like a disclaimer. That's a big disclaimer that we accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh against our will. So for many years, that probably was very uncomfortable. But there came a time when Purim came, when the Gemara writes in Shabbos, we re-accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh willingly. We re-accepted it willingly. And that concept of re-accepting the Torah Shebaal Peh willingly makes us the Am HaNivchar. That's what Shechter Shlita always points out to us. You know, non-Jews can study the Torah Shebichsav, not a problem. But they're usher the Torah to study the Torah Shebaal Peh. Because the Torah Shebaal Peh is what made us His chosen people. It made us the Am HaNivchar, and therefore it's prohibited for non-Jews to study Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, Purim is this such a special time. It is the most special time because that concretized that we became His people. Because we re-accepted it willingly. When you're in a relationship, you're forced to accept something. It's not the same. At the time of Purim, everything switched. And we re-accepted it willingly. Now, whenever you have a relationship, you need to have a contract. What was the contract when we accepted the Torah against our will? The Torah itself. Let's go to the next page. Actually, with last week's parsha, you look at Perek Chaf Dalet Pasuk Vav. Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Vayikra Ba'azne Ha'am, Vayomru Kol Asher Dibir Hashem Nasiv Inishmu. Now, most people would say, what's the most famous phrase or words in this pasuk? Everyone would say Nasiv Inishmu. But we're going to point out there's something also very, very famous or very important, I don't know, as famous, and that's the phrase Sefer HaBris. What was the Sefer HaBris? Writes Rashi there on the spot, I underline. Sefer HaBris, Mibreishis Vad Matan Torah, Umitzvah Shnistavu B'mar. What does Rashi say Sefer HaBris is? From the beginning of the Torah, from Breishis until this point. You know what the Ramban says? The Ramban argues in Rashi. It means from Breishis until Zos HaBracha. Lock, stock, and barrel, the whole Torah. That's what Sefer HaBris is. And that was the contract. Hashem said, I'm going to give you the Torah. I'm forcing you to accept it. You want a contract? The Torah is your contract. So according to the Ramban, that's the Teich, the definition of Sefer HaBris against Rashi. And there was a need to have, like you know how they say in modern Hebrew, a Chozeh. A Chozeh is a contract. And that was the Chozeh. The Sefer HaBris. So, that's when we accepted the Torah against our will. Where was the contract when we re-accepted the Torah willingly? Where's the contract? The contract is Megillas Esther. That is the contract when we re-accepted the Torah willingly. And Yushalmi writes in Maseches Megillah, that a Sefer Torah and a Megillah have the common thread. What's the common thread? That they're the only two Svarim that you can make bona fide drushes on. Real drushes. Meaning drushes, usually there are many drushes in Shas, but you could say really those are really Midrabanan. But when it comes to the Sefer Torah and a Megillas Esther, those are the highest level authenticity. And therefore, says Rabbi Shubin Lev, this can based on the Yushami, those are the only two Sfarim you can make real drushes on. Now, we mentioned before there's a halacha of sirtut. Sirtut is, you know, the sofer makes a blade, you know, uses a blade and makes sure the line is straight, so he writes it straight. You can't really see it unless you look closely to Sefer Torah, but it's called sirtut. The Gemara says in Megillah that a Megillus Esther needs sirtut. Ka'amita shel Torah. What does ka'amita shel Torah mean? Like the authenticity of Torah. So Rashi and Tosfos mean, just like a Sefer Torah needs sirtut, a Megillah needs sirtut. So you see another connection between the Kriyas and Megillah and the Torah. That they are the highest level of authenticity, and you need sirtut. Now there is a shita, Rashi and the Rambam say that a Megillah needs sirtut, like a Sefer Torah. The Rabbi Natan says, Kamita Shel Torah meant like a mezuzah, because a mezuzah has Shema Yisrael. So the Gemara is only comparing a Megillah to a mezuzah. So we're going Rashi and the Rambam. That we're comparing sirtut of a Megillah to a Sefer Torah. So you see this comparison between a Megillah and Sefer Torah. And its power. That it is a Sefer on its own, in essence. And it's, in a sense, it's hard to say it's on a higher level, but it really made us the Am HaNivchar, where we accepted it willingly. And if that's the case, when you think about the whole concept in general of Tanakh, where did the concept of Tanakh come from? You know, there are 24 Svarim in Tanakh. How did the Chacham choose which Svarim would be canonized? So one of my professors, Dr. Lyman, wrote his PhD many, many years ago on that concept. You know, well, Rabbi Kiva says that there never was a machlokas. You know, sometimes they shir shirim was a machlokas whether they would get included in Tanakh. Rabbi Kiva says, Chas v'Shalom, there never was a debate. It's the Kodesh Kadoshim. Different Svarim. You know, there's Svarim Achitzonim that were not included. So the Torah is Zeh HaDavar. The Torah itself, Chamisha Kumsha Torah, is the highest level. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Bas Baklari and Miri. What are the Svarim placed in Nevi'im? So the Miri says Svarim and Nevi'im are Svarim based on Musar, giving Musar. And the Rambam says all the Svarim and Nevi'im, the Nevi'im, when they got the Nevuah, they were unconscious. And Reb Chaim says Nevi'im means Boradiv Sivasayim. Nevi'im means his utterances. A Navi has to say over. A Navi that suppresses his Nevuah is Chayiv Misa. He has to say over. That's what Nevi'im are. So the Chacham said the Svarim that are Nevi'im either Musar, their Svarim of Musar, they have to be said over. And the Nevi'im got it when they were unconscious. What about the Svarim in Ksuvim? The Miri says there's no Musar. They're more historical. They're given to be written down. And they were written Beruach HaKodesh, which is a lower level than Nevuah. David HaMelech wrote Tehillim was conscious. He just had a special Ruach HaKodesh. But it wasn't the level of Nevuah when he wrote Tehillim. So the Chum made a drasha. It says, Ksov Zos Basefer, Nesim Basni Yoshu, the Gemara makes a drasha, in Megillah and Dav Zayin. That was the institution of Tanakh. Tanakh just didn't come about. There was a thought process of the Chum, which form would be put in. And different madrigas, in different levels. So, what comes out is that if we have this understanding, when you go to shul, and you hear Kriyas Megillah, and when you hear Kriyas HaTorah, what are we supposed to be doing? When you go to shul and hear Kriyas HaTorah, is Kriyas HaTorah Derabanan or Deraisa? Usually Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday is Derabanan. Zohar is Deraisa. The Tais HaRosh is Parsapara is Deraisa. Rashba quotes a Rashi, which we don't have in the Daf, in Brachas, that all four Parshias are Deraisa, Shkalim, Machodesh, Zohar, and Para. And the Ramban says Kriyas HaTorah and Yontif is Deraisa, from Akim and Mikrei Kodesh, but usually Kriyas HaTorah is the Rabbanan. But what are we supposed to be doing when we have Kriyas HaTorah? We're supposed to be thinking that this was the Sefer HaBris, that Hashem, when He gave us the Torah, we accepted it against our will, but this was the contract. That's what we're supposed to have in mind when you lane, when you hear a laning, when you go to shul. That this, we were the Am HaNivchar, despite the fact it was against our will, this Kriyas HaTorah is the contract. When you go to shul on Purim, when you hear the Kriyas HaMegillah at night and the morning, and the Ikar reading is in the morning, the Rav said, the night is just supposed to get you ready, that you have it in mind, you'll know it better for the second time in the morning. The Rav said, God forbid, if someone passed away at the night of Purim after Kriyas HaMegillah, he wasn't Yotze. Because the Ikar reading is the morning. unfortunately, in America, a lot of Yidden, less observant, you know, go only at night and they'll go in the morning. The Rav said they're not Yotze at all. The Ikar reading is really in the morning. It's more for Suminisa. The second time, you know this story much better. So what emerges is that when you go to Shul, we have to have this enactment that we are conveying, that we are the Am HaNivchar, and this Sefer connotes that we accepted it willingly. We cherish this Kriyas HaMegillah. It's gewaltig. That's what you have when you hear the Kriyas HaMegillah. It's such a special thing. And Hashem's name, you know, is not mentioned explicitly, but every time it says Amalek, there might be a connotation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's the Krisis Pris, the Torah Shabbat Peh, and that's where we accepted it willingly. That's the uniqueness of this Kriyas HaMegillah. So if you say like this, so now we can begin to answer the three kashas that we had. So let's take it from the, you want to answer them in order, or let's go backwards. Let's go backwards, it'll be better. Let's answer the third kasha, second, then first, okay? So what was the third kasha we asked? We said, what on earth is the svar of the Gedol Achronim against the Ramah? In the story in the shul, we had the two Sifrei Torah, remember? We can't take out that one that only had the mistake in Breishis, but in Shmos it's clean, it has the mistake in the other three too. Why can't you do that? Because you know what their understanding of Kavanat Tzibur was? Not that the shul looks cheap. Why can't you do Kriyas HaTorah of only a Breishis, or only a Shmos, or only a Vikra, or only a Midbar, or only a Dvar? Why can't you do that? You know why you can't do that? Because you're missing the boat. You're not conveying the full contract. The Sefer HaBris, every time you're laying, you have to convey that. So when it says, Ein Korim Michal Mashal B'at HaKnesu, when they cover at Tzibor, what does cover at Tzibor mean? It doesn't mean that they're cheap, and they're looking to what? Save money. It means, out cover at Tzibor, that you're missing the boat of what we're supposed to convey to everybody. We're supposed to convey that we have a Sefer HaBris, a contract that we accept the Torah against our will, but it's still, we were the Am HaNivchar. We are the Am HaNivchar. And if you only have one Shmos or one Rashis, you're not conveying that. So Ein Korim Michal Mashal B'at HaKnesu has nothing to do with whether the shul's dirt cheap. Even if the shul's dirt cheap, if they only, only if the shul is dirt poor and they have no money, so I would think maybe they're Yotzei. They have no money. What are they supposed to do? No, they still wouldn't be Yotzei. It's a different definition of Kavanat Tzibur. The definition of Kavanat Tzibur is they're not conveying the Sefer HaBris that is needed to be conveyed when you lay. And that is why the Shaarei Ephraim, the Beis Meir, say we don't agree with the Ramah. You can't take out that Sefer Torah. Everyone forgot about it, that there's a mistake in Breishis or in the other three Svarim. In four Svarim it has a mistake in Shmos, it's clean. I don't care if it's not clean in all five Svarim, it's not fulfilling its mandate of Sefer HaBris. And therefore you will not fulfill the mitzvah. Whereas the Ramah had a different understanding. The Ramah had to understand, like we said, that it looked bad, it looked like they were cheap. In this case, it doesn't look bad. It was a full Sefer Torah. There was just a mistake in four of the Svarim. So according to Ramah, it's fine. But the other Gedol Achronim had a new definition of Kavanat Tzibur, which is exactly what the Sefer Torah is supposed to convey, this concept of the Sefer HaBris. So that answers the third kasha. How do we answer the second kasha? Where on earth did the Rambam get this halacha? Where did the Rambam get this halacha that if you glue a nach onto a Sefer Torah, you bring down its kedusha, that it's considered to be a chumash, min chumash, based on the concept by Hilchos Treves by a chicken, that if it has another leg, it's like it has one leg. Yes, sir, can not tell me. Where did the Rambam import this halacha? So the Or Sameach, the great Gaon from Dvinsk, he wrote the Meshech Chachman Chumash and his Sefer on the Rambam. Or Sameach has one line. You know what the Rambam got it? The Rambam got it from the Gemara we began with. Amar Avudar Mashmul HaKorei Megillah Ben Aksuva, Ksuva Ben Aksuva is Lo Yatsum. That was the source of the Rambam. That was the source of the Rambam? That Gemara's talking about Megillah. The Rambam's talking about the Sefer Torah. What's the answer? The answer to the same thing. The Sefer Torah is when we accepted the Torah against our will. The Megillah is when we accepted the Torah willingly, but they're both contracts. They're both the Sefer HaBris. So the Rambam says, I got my makor, my sources from a Gemara and Megillah Daf Yates. Don't ask me that the topic there's Megillah, and I'm talking about a Sefer Torah. It's the same concept. And if you add something onto that Sefer Torah, you implode. You add something onto the Torah and put a Nach, forget about it. It is no longer the Sefer Arbris. You missed the boat. You add something onto the Megillah with the other four Megillahs, you missed the boat. And you are not Yotze. Unless you make your Megillah cloth bigger than the other four or smaller. According to this, the Rambam has a different shot than we started tonight. How did Rashi masber the Gemara? How did Rashi say? It looked bad, right? It's a lack of presumenisa if it's all connected with the other four. It looks like he's just learning, right? It's not the farce and the nace of the miracle. According to the Rambam, it's different than Rashi. According to the Rambam, you know why that Gemara says you're not Yotze? Because you are not conveying the Sefer HaBris. It has nothing to do whether it looks bad. It looks like it's a Marsayan halacha. It looks like you're learning and you're not publicizing the miracle. According to the Rambam, it's a formal, a more conceptual din. Not like Rashi that it just looks bad. You know, there were, the Rashba wrote Tshuvos. We saw the Bir Allah quoted before. And the people that wrote him questions were big Talmidei Chacham. So there was a fellow who asked the Rashba, another shtick. He asked the Rashba, Rashba, however he called him as a Rav, but he said, you know what? Can we write a Megillah and let the Sofer, when he writes the Megillah, write the brachas? Because sometimes, you know, the three brachas, you don't know them Baal Peh. Let's write the brachas in the beginning on the klaf, and the brachas at the end. It's a chap. Then you don't have to worry about having a sitter around. He asked the Rashba this kasha. It's a great kasha. And he said, you know, Rashba, I don't think it's good because of what halacha? Yeser kinotel dami. Adding on and subtracting. And the Rashba said, sir, you're right. It's usher to do. Because by adding on, you're bringing it down. Because it's not the pure Sefer HaBris. And the pure Sefer HaBris is only the Megillas Esra and the Klaf, and that is it. Nothing more and nothing less. And by adding it on, the whole thing implodes and you would not be Yotze. So we just answered the second kasha, that the Rambam's source in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Tet Zayin, despite the fact this topic was a Sefer Torah, he got it from the Gemara Megillah, which is the topic of Megillah. But they're both Sefer HaBrises. So I once asked Rav Schechter Shlita, I said, Rebbe, I said, I have a chop. I said, what happens if a guy takes a Sefer Torah and glues a Megillus Esther onto it? They're both Sefer HaBrises. Would that be good? So I said to him, I don't think it would be good because at least the Sefer Torah was when we accepted it against our will. The Megillah is when we accepted it willingly. So he said, he thought I was right. And you would not be Yotze. Because even though they're Sefer HaBrises, but their modes were different. And therefore, that would be a problem just as well. But it's a chop. It's an interesting chop. So that leads us to now, how do we answer the first kasha we asked? First question was, the gigantic, the Gon, the Shagasari, the Shagasari was such a Gon. He was, like I said, he was a giant in Torah. And he said, I don't understand the Shulchan Aruch. You read this Megillah, Aksuvim and Aksuvim. You read it in Shul, you're not Yotze at all. Let you at least be Yotze as a Yachid. Dao Mehacha, we said. Ignore the other nine guys. At least be Yotze as a Yachid. You know what the answer is? When you engage in reading the Megillas Esther and Shul, you are embarking on an enterprise to convey to the Shul that we are the Am HaNivchar and this is our contract. And when you walk out of Shul, you should be proud to be a Jew or Jewess, and that should make you so besimcha. That should start the day of Purim off halachically at night. Halachic day begins at night in such a joyous way, even though you fasted the whole day. But when you hear that, you are a lucky person. And therefore, when you engage in an enterprise, it's all or nothing. You add svarim, You add other Megillas to that Megillah, the whole thing implodes. And the Shulchan Aruch is correct by saying, don't give me the business, ignore the other nine guys. You can't ignore the other nine guys. Once you embark in that enterprise, you either get it done or you don't. And when you add on to it or subtract, you are finished. And that's why the whole thing implodes. And that answers the kasha of the Turi Evan as well. But I think it should convey to us how special this Megillas Esther really is. And how it really concretizes our relationship to Hashem and the Jewish people. Now, we have to add on that there is a uniqueness to Megillas Esther. Because it also is called an Igeret. What's an Igeret? A letter. And there are three kulas that stem from this notion that's called a letter. Number one, all you have to do is read 51% of it from a cloth. If you have a Baal Kori that has a bucky, and he wants to be a shtickle show-off, so he'll read 51% of the psukim from the cloth, and then he'll just say, you know what, I'll do the whole thing Baal Peh. Is that permissible? Definitely not l'chachila. But if he did it, okay, I grant you he's a Baal Gaiva, but you are Yotze. The whole Tzibur is Yotze because it's a letter. You have the leniency of an Igeris, which an Igeris means you can get the gist of the letter by reading 51% from the letter. So therefore, because it's called a letter, you're still Yotze. What's number two leniency? A few times in the Megillah, it says Yehudim with two Yuds. So let's say a guy would pronounce it by mistake, Yehudaim, which is wrong. Should be Yehudim. But if you said Yehudaim, would you be Yotze? Yes. Because it has a kula of a letter. And what's the third leniency? Normally a Sefer Torah, from the top to bottom, has sinews. You can't see the sinews. No, gidim from an animal. That are tied, the urea, one piece of the cloth to another piece. And the gidim are from the top to the bottom. From a Sefer Torah, you need top to bottom. A Megillah has a kula, it says in Shulchan Aruch, all you need is three. Okay, we do it so it looks neat. But let's say he had a sofer that made a Megillas Esther. When he put the sinews on the cloth, he only did three. You would still be Yotze, because it has a kula of a letter. So there are three kulas that emerge from the Din Igeres. So what's that all about? On one hand, we said it's the contract that Hashem gave us, the Torah Shebaal Peh. We accepted it. We re-accepted it willingly. On the other hand, it's called an Igeres. So the way Rav Shekhar Shlita said is very beautiful. There's a parak in Tehillim, I don't remember which one it is though, Lam Natzeh Alayelas HaShachar. That is said by the Vilna Gaon, says you should say that on Purim. But the Gemara writes in Yuma, that was Sof Kol HaNisim. That was the last miracle that happened. The story of Esther. Either Gemara asked the Kasha Chanukah, the Gemara says Chanukah is not in Tanakh. So that's what Rav Shekhar Shlita said. He said, Megillas Esther on one hand has 1 foot in Tanakh, because it's the last of all the Nisan. On the other hand, it's 1 foot out because it's serving as the contract of Torah Shebaal Peh. So because it has 1 foot in the Tanakh, in the canon of Tanakh, but 1 foot out and it serves as the Sefer HaBris of Torah Shebaal Peh, it has these three kulas. It's called an Igeris. So it's this unique paradox, it's a dialectic, the Megillah, what it has, that on one hand it's a Sefer HaBris, but it has these leniencies. But that speaks to the beauty of what the Kriyas HaMegillah is really all about. So we should think about this. When we listen to the Megillah, we prepare for it, when we study the Megillah beforehand, how unique and special it is, because it's such a great story, but it serves much more than that. That it is our real Sefer HaBris. Now I want to just conclude with, there are a few components that you have with Kriyas HaMegillah itself. One is that it's publicizing the miracle. That's one component. And the Gemara says that you don't have to understand every word. There's a word, acharshtanim. I don't know what the art school, I don't even think they translate it. Satraps, I don't even know what a satrap is. I think they don't know what it is. The Gemara says, we don't know how to translate it. No big deal. It's persumenisa. If you know the gist of the story, you don't have to understand every word. Presuming Nisa means to publicize the miracle, you know the theme. That's number one, Nakuda. Number two, Nakuda, Kriyasa Megillah can serve as a hallel. The Gemara says, why don't you say hallel on Purim? The Gemara gives three answers. The Nase happened in Chutz Lartz. The Gemara says, we say hallel on Pesach, and it happened in Chutz Lartz. That's before we got there to Israel. Once we got there to Israel, then the Klal is invoked. Any Nase outside of Israel, you don't say hallel for. Number two, after it's all said and done, we were still servants of who? Achashverosh, so you can't say a full hallel. And what's number three? Kriyasa zu halilasa. The Kriyasa Megillah itself is hallel. The Miri says if you have a town that has no Megillah, they should say hallel. They're not saying, if they can't do Kriyasa Megillah, they don't say Kriyasa Megillah, they should say hallel. Maybe without a bracha, the Shari Tshuva says. But that's the third element. That's the second element. So the first element is Pesumi Nisa. Second element, hallel. What's the third element? The third element is Mechias HaMolek. It's actually a Kiyum of Mechias HaMolek. Mar Cheshis used to say, he used to write with chalk on his bottom of his shoes, Homa and HaMolek. He'd blot it out. The actual reading of the Megillah is a Mechias HaMolek. It's a Kiyum of Mechias HaMolek. That's the third element. The Nazis, ISIS, right? All the terrible, terrible anti-Semites. We have that in mind. And then there's a fourth element, that it's a tefillah, that Hashem should help us destroy Amalek. It says, L'mani Zemercha Chavod L'idom, we read it at night, read it in the day. Quotes, L'mani Zemercha's hallow, and then it says, L'okim lo dumiyali, the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Talamon Aleph, which is a tefillah. So there's four elements you have when you have Kriyas Megillah. The Persumin Isa, publicizing the miracle, number two, hallow. Three is the notion of Mechias HaMolek, and four is a tefillah that we should prevail and destroy HaMolek. So, you know, Rav Hutner Zatzal writes a lot about HaMolek being representative of Leitzonus. You know what Leitzonus is? Where you take something that's important and you trivialize it. Who was the first nation that attacked us? We were the Am HaNivchar. We come out of Mitzrayim. Who is it? HaMolek. They try to cool down like a hot bath. We were the Am HaNivchar, and they tried to take us on to show the other nations of the world that we could be dealt with. It's a terrible thing. They took something chashiv and they trivialized. When you make fun of something which is chashiv, you trivialize, that's litzonis. There's no greater remedy for litzonis than appreciating the meaning of Kriyas Megillah. That it is our contract that Hashem chose us as His people. And the Megillah Esther serves as that contract of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And we treat it not just as a nice story, we make a lot of plays. Of course, it's great like that. But it's meaningful in the sense that we became His chosen people. The marriage was concretized through the Kriyas Megillah. And therefore, that will be the way that we'll be able to destroy HaMolek. And that's why one of the kiyumim of Kriyas Megillah is Mechias HaMolek. So I want to wish everyone a Freilich and Purim. Everyone should be healthy and happy. And we should, Bez Hashem, have the Beis HaMikdash, Meher V'Yameinu, where Tainas Esther will still be fasted, but it'll be a chelik of what? Chelik of Purim, when we celebrate Purim. Okay, everyone have a good evening. Thank you for coming.